Proverbs chapter 18. Now, for all y'all that are here tonight, there won't be any church next Wednesday evening. No church. Brother Lewis and I and my wife and his wife are going to be down in Georgia at a big old camp meeting. And Brother Tommy is going to be out of town up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I haven't seen Brother Steve in a while. So, y'all get next Wednesday night off. Okay? I don't know anybody else that I want to preach, so I'm not going to ask somebody that don't come very often. I'm just not going to do it. So. Y'all got a key to the church? Y'all come down here and take turns preaching to each other. All right. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22. Now, verse 22 has got nothing to do with the message. I just like the verse. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. The poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's pray. Father, help us tonight. Give us power and liberty to preach, wisdom. I pray we might speak to somebody's heart, be an encouragement to them. Lord, meet the needs we have. Pray for those folks who aren't here tonight. Meet their need. Bless them, Lord. Pray that you might speak to some of them, show them their need to be in thy house. Be more consistent, be more faithful. We thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing. That's the truth. Anybody can find a woman. They're everywhere. It's like a woman can find a man. I mean, if that's all you're looking for, somebody to partner up with, anybody can get somebody. But a wife is a lot more than just a female companion. A wife meets a lot of needs in a man's life. Like a husband, a man that's a husband, meets a lot of needs in a woman's life. And somebody that finds a real wife or a real husband has been blessed by the Lord. Now, you never read a truer verse in your life than verse 23. It said, the poor useth entreaties, but the rich answereth roughly. That's just a casual observation, but you know that's true. When people that don't have anything, when they're poor or ignorant or unlearned or all of the above, deal with people in positions of power and authority, they kind of come hat in hand, you know. But you ever watch the rich and the powerful? They talk down to people. They, you know, because they think they're entitled because they have some of this world's goods. And of course, truth is, your goods, the amount of material you possess in this world, isn't what gives you your value as a human being. It certainly isn't what gives you your value before God. Because you're not going to take any of that junk with you. And if you've got a lot of that junk, it's only because God's been good to you. It's not anything to get arrogant and haughty about. But boy, the people that get a lot of stuff, they sure get the big head, don't they? Now, look at verse 24. And a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. That's what I want to talk to you about tonight, is friends. And I had this on my mind because I took my two grandsons that live down here. Of course, we called the one in Pennsylvania and aggravated him. Took Seth and Ryan and went skeet shooting the other day down in Chester. And so on the way down there, we called Daniel up in Pennsylvania and asked him if he wanted to go with us. I do like to aggravate. And he wanted to go, but he said he had to work. But so anyway, Ryan, Seth, and I went down, and you know how conversations are. They tend to run and ramble. Conversations never seem to stay on a single subject for very long. And so we're talking, and somehow it gets on friends, people they hang out with, which was a great opportunity for me to preach. And so I just had it on my mind because friends are such an important part of our lives. And I've heard all the excuses about, you know, my friends don't make any difference to me. You know, they don't impact the way I think or act or feel, which is just BS by the truckload. Your friends have a big influence on you. Dr. Jerry Brown used to say, you are now or you soon will be what your friends are. Now, that's not a Bible verse, but it could have been. It's not a Bible verse, but I'd quote it like one from time to time because it's the absolute dying truth. You will soon be what your friends are. And if you've got bad friends, you'll end up doing bad things, or you will be affected in a bad way by bad friends. There are a couple of things in life that you can make decisions about and you have a choice about. And one of the things you can choose are your friends. And the decision on who you spend your time with and who you hang out with will have a major league impact on your life. And it can affect you psychologically. It can affect you spiritually. It can affect you physically. And so friends and friendship or something that ought to be chosen with care. And when you find a good one, you ought to hang on to them. And when you find a bad one, you need to get rid of it like you'd get rid of a hot potato. Amen. And so I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about friends from a Bible perspective. I got 9 little things here about friends and friendship. Number one, and I put this one first because it's my favorite. In Song of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 16, the Bible said, "This is my beloved and my friend." My best friend ought to be my wife. And, of course, you ladies, you know, you've got to turn it around and say, my best friend is my husband. But husbands and wives, they ought to be your beloved, but they ought to also be your friend. And I'm convinced with all my heart that the demise of many a marriage is not because people didn't start out loving each other. I think most of the time they did. And it's not because that they're incompatible. Most of the time, we can adjust this way and that way, and the other side adjusts. We can learn to be compatible. I think one of the biggest reasons, and there are a couple of others, but one of the biggest reasons for failure in marriage is husband and wife don't become friends. They don't enjoy each other's company. They don't learn to like being together. They run out of things to talk about. They run out of things in common. The truth is, most of us like to be with our friends. It's the people you like. And you say, well, you know, so-and-so is a relative, a brother, a sister, a cousin, whatever it is. But you don't care a thing about being with them. It's not the relationship that makes you want to be with them. It's how y'all get along with each other. Are you friends? Have you ever seen some mothers and daughters? They're best of buddies. They go shopping together. They talk together on the phone. They just have a good time. They enjoy each other. And I know some other mother-daughter combinations that they're always at odds. They're always fussing and fighting. There's a distance, a coldness, and a deadness between them. It's because they're not friends. They're related, and they actually still love each other. They just don't like each other. And so learning to be friends with your spouse is one of the great blessings in life. If you can spend the day with your husband or wife, leave the radio off and the TV off, and just the two of you talk and converse and laugh and kid and carry on, that's a real blessing. If your beloved is also your friend, you have been blessed by God. Then, the Bible talks about the wounds of a friend. In Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6, the Bible said, faithful are the wounds of a friend. That means your friend hurt you, but the wounds of a friend are faithful. You say, what's the idea in the verse? The idea in the verse is that your friend feels comfortable enough to tell you the truth about yourself or certain things. You ever ask people their opinion about something, and they kind of fumble and they hedge and they ramble and they never give you a real answer? It's because they're not comfortable enough with you to feel like they can tell you the truth. And so they make it up. They wing it. But a real friend, bosom buddies, when you ask them, what do you think? If they're comfortable with you, if they have confidence in you, if your relationship is solid, they believe they have they can take the liberty to tell you the truth, even when you're not going to like the truth. So the wounds of a friend are faithful. They didn't say it to hurt you. They didn't say it to make you mad. They didn't say it to get one up on you. They said it, and it may have hurt you a little bit, but they said it trying to help you. Now, you got to have a pretty good friendship for that. Amen? I used to have a little saying, I don't know where I got it, but the saying is, you can only tease your friends. Your enemies won't put up with it. There's a lot of truth in that. And the idea is, you got to be careful how you talk to people because they get hurt. They get offended. They take it wrong. Half the people you talk to are looking for some reason to get mad anyway. And so, if you've got a friend and your relationship, your bond is close enough that when you ask a question, they feel like they can give you an honest answer, that's a real blessing. That's a real friend. Now, then, the Bible talks about keeping your friends. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 28, the Bible said, a whisperer spreadeth or separateth chiefest friends. Proverbs 6:3 said, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. There's two thoughts in that. One, don't run your mouth about your friends to other people. Now, listen. Just because you're friends with somebody doesn't mean you agree with everything they say or do. It doesn't mean you like everything they like or that you dislike everything they dislike. Friendship has to have room for differences. Okay? And so, when we make friends or when we have friends, when we want friends, we have to be careful not to damage the friendship. And if there's something about you I don't particularly care for, maybe you got a little idiosyncrasy or a habit or whatever it is that grates on my nerves, but there's a lot more things about you I like. I mean, I've been married to the same woman for 49 years, and I don't like everything about her. Almost, but not everything. And she's working on them two or three things left. where was that? Now, a whisperer separateth chiefest of friends. You go and talk to somebody else, another friend or an acquaintance, and you say something, and it can be as innocent as anything in the world. It don't have to be malicious or anything like that, but boy, the other person says it, and they say it maliciously. Or they use a different set of words to convey your thought. And it sounds malicious. Things get changed up. It never gets repeated exactly the way it was told. Either the words are different or the emphasis is different. And then by the time it gets back around to your friend, it sounds ugly and they get their feelings hurt. And then you end up losing a friend over some silly little thing that you should have kept your mouth shut about and kept to yourself. Amen? Now, when that happens, the admonition was, Proverbs 6:3, humble thyself and make sure thy friend. If you sense that your friend is a little tiffed at you, or maybe they're a little colder than usual, or they don't call you as often as they used to, or, you know, a lot of times you can tell when it's not like it's supposed to be, or it's not like it used to be. If their friendship means anything to you, what you do is you humble yourself and you go say, listen, what's the deal? We're not talking like we used to. We don't enjoy each other. Have I said something? Have I done something? Now in America, we're so proud we're not going to do that. Well, if she's got a problem, she needs to come to me. If he's got a problem, he ought to come to me. Well, if you're the one that figured out there's a problem, why don't you be man enough or woman enough to go and find out what the problem is and get it fixed? Make sure thy friend. If the friendship means anything to you, then it ought to be worth you making an inquiry to find out why the friendship is not as warm and as close as it used to be. Somebody say amen. Then, oh dear, I hate to get on this one. This takes forever. There are unneeded friendships. There's just some folks you don't need as friends. It's just that simple. Well, I just want to be friends with everybody. Well, I don't. Because I don't like everybody, and I don't like the way everybody else thinks, and I don't like the way what everybody else believes, and I don't like what everybody does. I'm real picky about my friends. The reason I ain't got but two or three, and a couple of them don't know where they are or not. Do I have a... Oh, yeah. I didn't know you was keeping up with verses. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 3. But Naaman had a friend. Now this friend gave him bad advice, and he committed a terrible act and ruined his life and the life of his sister, all because of a bad friend. Now, I got five things here about friends that you don't need. One, number one, you don't need friends that pull you down. You don't need friends that pull you down. If your so-called friend is always into things or wanting to do things that are below the standards you have right now, you don't need them. If your friends don't lift you up or help lift you up or at least help you stay where you're at, you don't need them. You don't need friends that are going to pull you down. If their standards are a little lower, if their convictions are less than yours, if their lifestyle is less than yours, you don't need them as a friend. And don't give me that stuff, well, I won't be their friend because I won't try and help them. I won't try and lift them up. No. Let the Lord Jesus Christ do that. Amen. What you need to do is keep friends that help you, not friends that are going to pull you down. You don't need to have to fight your own flesh and the world and the devil and friends too. You don't need that. 99 times out of 100, you lose that battle. Number two, you don't need friends to pull you down. You don't need friends that you have to carry and pump up all the time. Well, they're always down. They're always in the slough of despond. They're always thinking about quitting. They're always thinking about going here. And you have to keep pumping them up and try and keep them on the right path. Now, I'm not saying that all your in friendship, there are going to be times when people need help. I'm not saying throw your friends away every time there's a little disagreement or they're a little down or they have some wild idea. We all have those from time. I'm talking about those people who habitually do it. That every time you're around them, it's the same thing over and over and over. They're always having to be helped up or pumped up or pulled up because they're unstable, they're weak, or they're indecisive, or they don't have any convictions. You don't need those folks for your friends. Oh, but we do get self-righteous and think, well, you know, those people need friends and they need help and I'm stronger than they are and the Lord's going to use me to help them. Yeah? There's millions of people out here in the gutter that have fallen by the wayside that fell there because their friends that needed to be pumped up all the time finally wore them out. You don't need them. It is foolish to sacrifice yourself for a friend that you're not sure that you can help in the first place. You know why most of your friends that are weak and unstable like that? Because that's the way they are. That's their nature. And unless the Lord does something, there is no help for them. Number three, friends you don't need. You don't need friends that pull you down. You don't need friends that you have to carry or pump up. You don't need friends with different values. Now, you're not ever going to find a friend, probably, that has exactly your values 100% all the time in everything. But the core values, the major ones, I'm not talking about the little peripheral things, but the big things that determine our manner of life. Your friends need to have the same ones you got. You don't need to hang around with folks that you're pro-life and they're pro-choice. I don't have any friends like that. That's a serious, serious issue. People say, well, you know, some of my unsaved friends, I don't have any unsaved friends. I have a lot of unsaved acquaintances, but they're not my friends. We don't have them over for dinner. We don't go to cookouts with them. We got nothing in common with them. They're going to one kind of things and I'm going to something else. Amen. I don't need that. I got more problems already than I can handle. My own flesh is corrupt enough and weak enough. I don't need friends with different values. Pretty soon they get you to reevaluating yours. Well, you know, so-and-so is my friend, and I believe this, or I was taught this, or our church believes so-and-so, and they don't believe that, and he's a good person, she's a good person, and they do this, and they do that, what are they doing? They are weakening your resolve about your convictions, your positions. You don't need that. You need to get a position based on facts and research and conviction, and then you get that thing settled, and then you hang on to that the rest of your life. People who are constantly reevaluating and rethinking and regrouping and reinvestigating are people who never have anything settled in their whole life. Get it fixed, get it settled, and then leave it alone. And somebody that differs with you or disagrees with you, you have already concluded that their position is wrong. Leave them alone. The Bible said, an heretic, after the first or second admonition, reject. Leave them. People say, well, you know, we need to keep working with. That's not what God said. God said after a time or two, you know, they're convinced, they're sitting there, leave them alone. Let them go. I think sometimes we hang on to them because we like what they're doing. Or we're not sure about our own position. Now, if you're not sure about your own position, you're going to be tossed to and fro like the waves of the sea. That's the reason every Christian ought to be dogmatic. I mean, you ought to study, you ought to research, you ought to come to convictions on your own, but once you get that thing settled, hell or high water ought to be able to move you. I am not going to be driven to and fro with every wind of doctrine. where am I at? Five friends you don't need, right? Friends that pull you down, friends you have to carry your pump up, friends with different values, and friends that are not spiritually minded. And here's a toughie. You see, because we say, well, I know old so-and-so, and he's a good old boy. And he don't do this and that and the other thing. And you can't point at some big glaring sin in his life. But on the other hand, he's not spiritually minded either. God is not in all their faults. Their course of action is not determined by right and wrong and biblical principle. It's determined by convenience, circumstance, and how they feel about it. I was talking to the boys the other day, and they were talking about certain thing, and I said, well, it's a lot of fun. I said, but it's not right. Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. I said, but Christians don't make their decisions based on what's fun. We make our decisions based on what's right and wrong. It's fun. I said, but a lot of things that are bad are fun. People who are out drinking think it's fun. People who are out committing adultery think it's fun. But it's wicked as hell. You can't make your mind up. You can't direct your life by whether or not you think it's fun. You make your decisions on what is right and what is wrong. Man, I would just give anything if I could unscrew them little heads and dump some common sense in there sometime. They say, how do you know if a friend is spiritually minded? Oh, I'm glad you asked me that. I was dying to tell you. Do you think more about God when you're with them or after you have been with them than you did before? Did the things you discuss and talk about when you were with your friend, was there ever a spiritual perspective about it? Did God and His position ever enter into it? If God is not a consideration in their decisions and in their conversation and in their manner of life, they're not spiritually minded. The Bible said that they do mind the things of the Spirit. To be spiritually minded is to mind the things of the Spirit. And when you get around people, saved people, I know a lot of saved people that ain't spiritual. I mean, they're probably on their way to glory, and there ain't nothing spiritual about them. And if you hang around them, you will be less spiritual than you were when you started. Everybody take a look at all their friendships and say, I've been friends with this man for 6 months, or this lady for 6 months, or this young person for 6 months. Are you closer to God? Are your standards as good or better than they were? Do you consider God and the Bible and Bible principles before you make decisions more now or less now after being friends with those people? If you don't, they're not good for you. And if you've got a friend that's not good for you spiritually, you don't need them. Matter of fact, you're in grave danger if you hang on to them. But I like to be with them. They're funny. They're witty. They're intelligent. They're intellectual. But I don't care if they are Einstein. If they are not spiritually minded, you better get rid of them as quick as you possibly can. Say, well, they're saved too. That's not the issue. Saved or lost is not the issue. Are they spiritually minded? If you want to be a spiritually minded person, if you want to mind the things of the Spirit, listen, the Bible said that the Spirit is life and peace. Peace, tranquility, harmony in the Christian life depends on being in touch with and in tune with the Holy Spirit. And when you've got people that are not spiritually minded, they cause you to be less spiritually minded, less in tune, less in touch. Therefore, you don't have the peace and joy in your Christian life that you had before you made that friend. Seth was talking the other day because he thinks everybody in the world is his friend. My friend so-and-so and my friend so-and-so. And I listen to them talk. And I'm really worried about some of their friends. I'm really worried about some of their friends. And I don't have much control anymore. But if I did, they wouldn't have some of them friends. I'm telling you that right now. They'd be gone. Tell you something else you don't need. I know I told you I'm going to spend forever on this one point, but I had five little sub-points. Friends that you don't need or unneeded friends. Friends that pull you down. Friends that you have to carry or pump up. Friends with different values. Friends that are not spiritually minded. And friends whose lives are controlled by the wind. They got no fixed convictions in their life. It all depends on who they're with. It all depends on their circumstance. If they're with churchy people and godly people and spiritual people, then they sound spiritual, they sound godly, and they talk the lingo and all this, that, and the other. But when they're with somebody of a different bent, they can just let that stuff go just as easy as anything. Because they don't have anything fixed in their own heart. Now, I've been saved 39 years. I got convictions about everything. Everything. Ask me about anything. I can tell you exactly what I believe. And give me a couple minutes and I'll give you the verse and I'll show you why I came to that conclusion. There's almost nothing in my life that is free to be blown about. I got everything nailed down. Now, I may or may not be right about all that. But I got it nailed down anyway. We'll find out at the judgment seat whether I had it right or not. But nobody's ever going to accuse me of not having beliefs that I can nail down and hang on to live my life by. I can steer my life by my convictions. I believe certain things are right and certain things are wrong. I think there's some places you can go and some places you can't go. Some things you can do and some things you can't do. Some things you can wear, some things you can't wear. Some things you can say, some things you can't say. Some folks you can be with and some folks you can't. I've got convictions. And I got them at church. I got them at home. I got them on vacation. I got them everywhere I go. They don't change. Now, I know a lot of folks whose lives are controlled by the wind of circumstance, the wind of group, that is who they're with, and it just all depends because they got nothing settled. You ought not have to say our church teaches or our preacher believes. There ought to be some point in time where you say, I believe. I read the Bible, and I prayed about it, and God showed me it. This is what I believe. I'm going to stand right here. It ought to be your conviction. Now, when it's yours, you won't change it. And it won't depend on who you're with or who you're not with. See? So you don't need friends that are all over the map. One week they're against this, and the next week they're against that, and then, you know, they don't change. Your convictions are the same year after year after year after year. I had somebody not long ago say, "Preacher, everybody's changed on that but you." I said, "Well, thank you." That made me feel real good. I haven't changed on that. They were talking about a particular thing. I got that thing settled 39, 38 years ago, and I've had it settled ever since. I got it settled. I've not even thought about it since then. And just because they don't have it settled, didn't bother me a bit. I didn't have to go back and revisit or rethink. I got it settled. And I'm not going to have a bunch of friends hanging around that are constantly debating and changing and wondering and ifing and whatting and pulling me down. I'm not going to do it. Your friends are supposed to be a help to you. Friends are supposed to be a blessing to you. I'm not going to have friends. I don't need friends whose lives are controlled by the wind. Then there are fair weather friends. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 4. The Bible said, wealth maketh many friends. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 20, the poor is hated, but the rich hath many friends. That's friends of circumstance. Those are fair weather friends. Those are friends that come and go. When you're up and things are going well, then they're your friend. But when you're down and things are not going well, they're gone. Or they're your friend today, but they meet somebody else tomorrow, and now they're their friend. Don't you hate people that can only have one friend at a time? Little, small, narrow people. I was talking to Seth the other day because he had a friend. He thought he was his friend and went to camp. And then, of course, Seth's friends with everybody. Or at least he thinks he is. He wants to be. He's just a people person. Well, they got to camp and Seth is being friends with all these other people, talking with them and snacking with them and playing games. And his friend got real offended and he was pouting. And Seth went to him and talked to him about it. And said, what's the matter? He said, you're being ugly to me. He said, I thought we was friends. He said, we are friends. Well, you're doing so-and-so with... It's because he's got more than one friend at a time. For crying out loud. Are you so little that you just want one friend and want to monopolize their time and you do everything with them and they do everything with you and y'all need to get married? Friends are about mutual accommodation. Friends are about helping each other. Friends are about enjoying each other. And anybody with any mind about them, any depth to them, can have 100 friends. And just because I got she's my friend, don't mean I can't be friends with you. Now, I can't be friends with Tommy, but I could be... You see what I'm saying? But you know a lot of people. I know a lot of people. My wife's mother had 3 daughters. She could only be friends with one at a time. Now, I'm telling the truth. She's sitting right here. Old Marge, I loved her to death. She's a sweetheart in a lot of ways. But if she was friends with Brenda, she wouldn't have nothing to do with them other two. And then she'd get back to talking to one of them, and she'd cut her off. She could only be friends with one at a time. That's pitiful. That's petty. Grow up. Expand. Get a little bigger than that. You don't need just one friend, and you don't need fair weather friends. Folks that are going to be your friend when it's beneficial to them, or when it's profitable. And who are going to dump you when somebody else comes along they like better. Happens all the time, though. Happens all the time. Now, I eliminated all of that friend problem. I just decided not to have any. That's not totally true. But then there are friends of opportunity. Now, personally, I would have classified these as... acquaintances more than friends, but for the sake of the message, we'll call them friends. Friends of opportunity. In Luke chapter 23 and verse 12, Pilate and Herod were made friends together. That's because they had a mutual enemy. They had been at odds with each other for years, but because they had a vested interest in this one enemy, and they both conspired together to take care of the problem, they had a friendship. Now, the friendship was very tenuous. And it didn't have any depth to it. And it didn't have a whole lot to do with each other liking each other. But it was a mutual friendship based on a common goal. I call those acquaintances most of the time. But the Bible said they were made friends. And I would certainly never disagree with the Bible. Except I think a better word would have been... about this? The Bible said in Micah chapter 5 and verse 6, trust not in a friend, put not confidence in man. Now that's, the point here is friendships have limits. I've read stories about and those kind of things where people have friendships where they're literally willing to die for each other. I think those are very rare. I don't think there's too many of them around. But I have known people who were friends with the same person for 35 and 40 years. They grew up together, they'd known each other the whole life, and they've been friends the whole time. But you can only expect, I don't care how long you've known somebody or how close you think you've been, you can only expect so much out of a friend. You say, well, you know, they're my friend. They do anything for me. Anything within reason. Anything that doesn't jeopardize their own family. I think a lot of times we expect way too much out of friends. Friends are sometimes, they're like Pilate and Herod, they come together for a common goal. Sometimes it's because we just enjoy one another's company. But you can push that friendship beyond reasonable limits and expect the friend to give more than they're able to give. They have duties, obligations, responsibilities. I can't expect Brother Lewis to financially deprive his family to help mine out. You know, if he has excess, I'm sure he would, I believe he would try to help me the best he could. But he's got limits because he has other duties and obligations. And family trumps friends. And so you have to be careful about how much you expect out of friends. I've seen people more than once expect a friend to cover for them, or lie for them, put their job at risk for them. That's more than a friendship's supposed to have to bear. Amen? I've worked for a company for a lot of years, and more than once I've seen one of the supervisors expect one of the ladies in the office to cover for them. Well, and they're putting their job at risk when they do that. That's not right. And if you was really their friend, you wouldn't expect that out of them. I used to tell them ladies, if I do it, if I say it, you tell them Bob said it, or Bob did it, or Bob authorized it. I'll take my own heat. Don't you ever think you're necessary for you to cover for me. I'm a big boy, I take my own licks. Say why? Well, those ladies in the office, they're my friends. You know, I like them. I got nothing against them. But I can't expect them to put themselves in jeopardy for me. That's beyond the realm of friendship. But all the time, I hear young people talking about, they'll get their friend to do this for them. They'll get their friend to do that for them. Well, you're not a very good friend if you expect them to hazard their own welfare or their career or their... You can't do that. Somebody say amen. Friends have limits. Then there's a friend without equal. The Bible said that there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me tell you who the best friend you'll ever have is. Your best friend will be Jesus Christ. He'll be more fair, more honest, more faithful, more giving, more forgiving than any other friend you will ever have. Now, my wife and I have been married almost 49 years. And next month, the 22nd of next month, will be 49 years. And on this earth, she is my best friend. And I would trust her with my life. But she'll never be the same kind of friend that Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for His friends. He died for me. The best friend anybody ever had is Jesus Christ. Now let me close with this. Christians tell their friends. The Bible said in Mark chapter 5, verse 19, "Go and tell thy friends what great things God hath done for thee." You say they're my friend. Have you talked to them about Jesus Christ? Go home, tell thy friends. You talk to them on the telephone? Yeah, sit and have a hamburger with them? You go to a ball game with them? You send them text messages? You see them on Facebook? Have you talked to them about Jesus Christ? If they're your friend, Christians tell their friends. And if you believe that heaven is real and hell is real and there's a judgment, and that people who are not saved by God's amazing grace die and go to hell, and you don't tell them, you're not their friend. You are not their friend. If you were their friend, if you had any kind of relationship, if you had any kind of feeling for them, you'd tell them. You say, well, they'll get mad at me and they won't be my friend and they don't want a religious kook. No. Do you know the truth or not? Do you believe it or not? If you know it and believe it, then your conscience would compel you at the risk of losing your friend to tell them about Jesus Christ. Christians tell their friends. And that's all I got to say about it. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You for Your goodness and Your mercy. We pray, Lord God, that You'd help us to be a